just with the time we had on Friday night, and then the elders had time with the prayer team yesterday, such a releasing heart. It's like an apostolic releasing. It's like Paul said, I want to come so I can give you a gift. And I feel like that's what's happening this weekend for our church, that we are going to receive a gift. Yep. We're going to be released into being the house of prayer in a greater way that each of us is called to be. We're all called to pray. It's not just the intercessors, like the weird ones and things like that.
That's right.
So with that, Pastor Terry.
I'm actually going to use this for a minute. Joe, can you bring the team up? We're going to have them introduce themselves. And I was going to have them say something, but that might take all day. So we actually have about 32 students in the prayer school full time, and this is a portion of them. Shaylee, you're on the team this trip, so come on up. I want you guys to spread out this way a little bit.
Good morning. My name is Joe. I'm on staff at Jake's house. I am the assistant for Terry with prayer school. Man, you guys are amazing. There's so much joy in here this morning.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I want to tell a funny story. I got to turn around and fly down. I mean, I have. I don't know about you guys. I remember a couple times when I was praying either by myself or in a group, and I'm running out of
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Come on, let's give them a hand. Thank you. Yeah, we go. This is my seventh time going to Mexico. I run the Mexico outreaches for Jake's House. My daughter, this is her third time, and she's pretty much just taken over. You know, so she was. We were out to eat last night, and she was like answering all the Mexico questions for me. So I was just watching the Sounders game. And thank you. God bless you. It's awesome. By the way, just to help a brother out. Okay, so I've been a pastor like 20-something years, and if you ever see pastors like right in the middle of a message, just say something like, "Oh, I just feel like we need to bow our heads and pray." It's usually because they realize their fly was undone. So they're like, let's bow our heads. And then some dear souls out there, I knew it. I felt the same thing, Pastor. I felt like the Lord said just. So I just want to say this, and I'm going to get into the message today. Prayer school is, I've done everything you can do in ministry. I started as a children's minister. I survived that. That was awesome. I was a youth pastor for 14 years or so. You know, I've done missions trips, you name it, lead pastor, associate pastor, executive pastor. Executive pastor, by the way, means if something doesn't get done, they execute you. So that's my job at the church. But the prayer school is my favorite by far. It's what I love to do. It's encouraging and training people in the art of prayer. Sophocles said that success is dependent on effort, so you have to do something. I'm a grace guy. I really am. But I'm going to tell you something straight from my heart. If you expect to get better at anything in life and put no effort into it, good luck with that. Yeah. Effort is required in everything. The Bible says to pray about everything in every situation with all kinds of prayers. It requires effort on my part to do something. And I totally love the prayer school because we get to do that. And this year we're over 100. We've now trained over 100 people in 9 months of just every week learning about prayer. One of the things that could benefit you maybe in the future is we're contemplating doing one time per trimester we go to a place like Spokane and do a weekend prayer school and give you assignments so that at the end of the year, you've done a full prayer school, because a lot of you can't come to Jake's House for one night a week for a Thursday night prayer school, but we can come here, and we can go to San Diego to one of our sister churches there. We can go to other places. We can go to Mexico and take the prayer school there, and so if you're interested in that, we're going to have further information later, but I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, and if you don't have your Bible, it's okay. We're going to put it on the screen, and I'm going to basically teach you how to read scripture through the filter of prayer. Because there was a time in my life where I just said, man, I want to know more about prayer. So I bought a brand new unmarked Bible, and I started in Genesis, and I thought, you know, I'm gonna take notes on the side, and I'm going to highlight everything that has to do with prayer. And I thought, there won't be much, you know. And first 5 pages in, I'm writing and highlighting everywhere. Because when you look at the Bible and read it through the filter of prayer, it's all through the Bible. And so I want to read in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and I want to show you how you can become successful in life and get through your problems and get through your issues. How many of you have ever had a problem in life? Yeah? I had a guy come to me one time, and he said, well, you pastors, you just have it easy. Like all pastors, your life's just rainbows, leprechauns, and pots of gold, you know? It's all good in the hood. Everything's just right. And I said, listen, stop right there, bro. And I just began to recite to him the things that I've gone through in my life. I started with my sister dying of cancer at the age of 13, breathing her last breath in my dad's arms. I told him about my mom dying on my birthday, you know, at 55 years old. And then he's like, okay. And I'm like, no, I'm not done. And I just began to go through my life, the things that I've gone through, so that he'll know that when I'm teaching him something, it's not because I've never been through something. It's because I have been through something, and I've overcome it. And I'm going to tell you, what you see is the biggest obstacle in your life right now, whether it's a situation or a person, it's the biggest stepping stone you can have to growing. Most of us, we get a letter in the mail, or, you know, the doctor says we have cancer, or we have the, whatever, you know, the bill collectors are coming, or someone's mad at us, you know. I'm a nice person, I'm a grace guy, so I don't like conflict, so if someone's upset with me, I don't like it. You know, it doesn't make me happy. I think about it because I want to have good relationships with people. And when we go through these things where whatever it is, it becomes an obstacle and we try to hide from it. We're like a Christian ostrich with our head in the ground. And God doesn't ever promise to get you around your issues, but to get you through them. So if you can ever learn through prayer to get through your obstacle and that your obstacle is the greatest thing that can happen to you, you'll be successful in life.
So good.
I teach the preaching class to the full-time students at Destiny International, and I always tell them, man, I'm so excited that you guys are going to get opportunities to preach, and I can't wait for you to fail. And they're looking at me like, I thought you were the nice guy. What happened here? I told them, because when you fail at something, there's something that changes within you that you never want to do that again. I remember the first time I preached, and the first time I preached, it went really well. The second time was horrible. I mean, it was like everything just went out and just kaboosh. And it's because the first time I didn't study, and I didn't prepare, and I felt like God just said, I got your back on this. So then I built a theology around that great preaching has no study required, you know? Just take someone's message, just throw it out there, it's all good. So the next week, I didn't study, and God said, well, here's your first big lesson. This is going to be fun. I'm sure he said to the angels, hey, you guys, gather around. This is going to be cool to see down in Idaho. Watch this. And then I began to preach, and it was the worst. And that's the most sickening feeling you can ever have as a preacher is when it's not going well, and you know it's because of you. Now, we can throw things out like, oh, there's a demonic attack today in the room. No, the demonic attack was all week long when you were sitting on the couch watching TV and eating potato chips instead of studying the Word of God and praying your message in. That was a demonic attack. So you need to be able to embrace the fact that you're going through something. The greatest minds in Christianity throughout history have all said it was in the dark night of the soul, those times when God is not found and I'm going through something difficult. It's in those times that they wrote in their journals and received the greatest revelation from God. The greatest lessons that they put in their books that we have now, thousands of years later, because they went through the dark night of the soul. I pray that at some point you will have a tough time and go through the dark night of the soul. And you might even understand what most Christians on this planet are going through. Most Christians on the planet are not in America. They're in communist, socialist, dictatorship countries where it's illegal to be a Christian. We don't have nice buildings. We don't have technology to use and all these things. So sometimes it's good for us to embrace a trial or something that's tough. Plus, being a prayer person, I know that as Christians, we pray best when we're going through something. I'm going to teach you today, hopefully, to get out of that mindset. But how many times do we pray when things are horrible? We're on our knees and we're going to church and we're faithful and we don't even need to know about being cursed and tithing. If I'm going through something, God, help me out. Help me out. And then God blesses us and, oh, I don't need to tithe anymore. It's a grace time. And I don't need to go to church. You know, my church is out there. I don't need this. And then we quit praying. And that's not what God meant when he said pray in all situations. So let's just look at Ecclesiastes 11, starting in verse 1, where it says, cast your bread on the surface of the waters. And we think of this chapter as more of a financial chapter, but I want to show you something. The Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers and principalities and rulers of this dark age. That's a spiritual battle that's outside of this realm that you can see and touch. But this says cast it, and I'm going to say prayer, cast your prayers on the surface. That's something you can touch, something you can see. That's the situation you're going through. Rule number one in praying is when you're going through something, cast your prayers. Begin to pray on that situation. Doesn't matter what it is. Pray. Everyone say pray.
Pray.
And it says that you will find it after many days. I'm telling you, if you will just begin to pray in your situation and cast those prayers out there, you're going to see a suddenly. How many of you like the suddenlies of God? Where I told him on Friday this story, and I won't tell it again, but there was a time when I owed a bunch of money to the IRS, and I didn't make much as a pastor, and they were coming for me. It's not like today when the IRS will let you do whatever you want. And I just tested God, and it suddenly happened. And I got an envelope for the amount of money that I owed in the mail that was sent weeks ago, but it was the night before that I prayed and said, God, I need you. I need you to show me a sign. And I'm telling you, when you are faithful at praying over your situation, suddenlies are going to drop out of the sky. And I'm telling you, we need suddenlies. Someone say amen.
Amen.
And then verse number 2 says, divide your portion to 7 or even to 8 days, for you do not know what misfortune may occur. And what's it talking about is You need to spread out your money and your finances. But look at this. When you run this through the filter of prayer, that I don't need to just pray on Monday or Sunday and call it good. I need to pray every day of my life because I don't know what day is going to have misfortune. I already need to be prayed up. You ever been through a situation and then you haven't been praying, but you tell everyone you have, but you haven't? And then when it happens, you panic? And then your prayers are frustrating? They're depressed prayers? They're fearful prayers? They're blaming God prayers? Where were you in all this? That just shows us that we haven't been praying every day. We haven't been dividing our week into, I'm praying on Monday and Tuesday. Because when you're prayed up, you realize, hey, I know something negative just happened. There's a situation, but God is going to break through because I've been praying. So I want you guys to learn to begin to pray every day. And then it says in verse 3, and this is one of my favorite ones, if the clouds are full, they pour out rain. And I know that may not mean anything to you, but living in Seattle, that's a natural element for us, man. Clouds are, we brought some of the Seattle weather here today for you. We didn't want you to be too blessed with the sunshine you've been having. So we brought some clouds and rain. And I lived in Ketchikan, Alaska, where it rains almost 200 inches a year. Seattle rains about 40 inches. Ketchikan rained almost 200 inches. There would be like some days like 13 straight days of hard rain. I totally understand this scripture. And it literally says, you know, if the clouds are full. And what that means is that I need to be praying. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation that there's this bowl in heaven that when the Christians pray, it fills up this bowl. Now, that may not mean anything to you. That may sound strange. But what it's really talking about is this, that if you are consistently praying into your family and praying into your life, eventually it's going to rain down some blessing upon your life. It's going to happen. Let me tell you about my children. I pray for my children every night, and my daughter, she's 16, she's as tall as I am, she knows Taekwondo, and because she's 16, you know, you can't just go in their room. Girls, their room is like the throne room, okay, you know what I'm saying? And so I don't break in the room because that'd be dangerous, so I sit out in the other room, and I pray for her. God just released dreams and visions in the night season over her because that's what your Bible says. Allow her to wake refreshed in the morning and ready for school. I pray that you just release angels over her room. Victories, God, I call forth her destiny. Now, I don't say it that loud because she'd wake up and she'd be like, tuk, tuk, tuk. You know, I don't. And then I go to my son's room, and this is where it got pretty amazing for me. I would pray the same thing in my son's room, and he hated it. He didn't like it. He I would sneak in after he fell asleep, and sometimes I'd wake him up, and he'd go, Dad, that is so creepy, an old man. You wake up, and there's an old man in your room praying. And then he would mock me for speaking in tongues. And you're just like, blah, 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 blah. Not really what a father wants to hear when I'm battling the demonic forces, you know, okay? And so as time went on, he finally gave me a little bit more permission. And he said, okay, when I fall asleep, you can come in my room and pray. And so I was like, okay, I just got permission. I'm going in now. I'm going in. And so I'm praying, and then even last week it got better because he laid down and I gave him a kiss and a hug and said, hey, buddy, I love you. See you in the morning. And he goes, Dad, don't forget you're going to pray in my room tonight, right? And he went from, man, the old man's praying, that's creepy, to, hey, don't forget to pray in my room. And then last Friday night we just had this amazing thing happen with him. My daughter is like, she's the one that over the years has seen angels and things like that, you know, and she's just like, oh, yeah, I saw an angel. I'm like, oh, you just saw an angel, you know, because everyone I know is like, they just want to see an angel so bad, and she's just like, oh, yeah, I see them all the time. This is what they look like. I'm like, dear Lord. And then my son, he's the opposite. He was the doubting Thomas. He was the one that's like, okay, if God is real, then have him help me win this Xbox game, Call of Duty, right now. So I'm trying to adjust my theology. Well, I'm not really sure, you know, he plays Call of Duty. But, you know, if he did, I'm sure we'd win, kill them all. And then we've had, over time, some just things with Trey that God has just kind of shown up to help kind of bring him along out of that doubting Thomas. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I like the doubting Thomas thing, that we do say, God, I do believe you're there. I want to see you in the real, you know, not the preacher preaching. I want to see you do something in my life. And there was one game, we were going to a Sounders game as a family, and he was being just a real knucklehead, you know, and just really on this thing of trying to get my goat, like, God's not real, you know, just out of the blue, just saying stuff like that. And I said, I'm going to tell you what, man, I'm going to prophesy. You know, You're a good prophet for others, but it's hard to be a prophet in your own house, okay? It really is. And he's like, because you can't say, I'm going to prophesy. Your kids will eat you alive. You say stuff like that. You just got to say, I think, you know, it's going to. And so we were on the way to this game, and I said, Trey, you watch. And he goes, this is a horrible game. It's just going to rain. I said, Trey, I'm going to tell you something from God. God's going to prove to you that he's real, and it's going to be blue skies when we get there. And all of a sudden, right then, the radio comes on. Storm warning in effect for Seattle, going to get worse over the next hour. Really? Jeez. I didn't know that God was setting Doubting Thomas up for a good adventure. And we get to the stadium, and I think it was the kids or you and Shaylee and I. One of us were sitting in the rain waiting for the game to start because the players are practicing. And the other two were sitting just kind of waiting for the game to start so you don't have to sit in the rain. And the game finally starts, and then right in the middle of the game, the clouds parted. Blue skies shine, and Trey just goes, because he was such a Doubting Thomas, and then God just showed up. And, you know, for some people, it's just a period of time where God does these suddenly these miracles to prove that he's real. Yep. And that's why as parents, we consistently pray for our situation and our children. And listen, you may not see it happen overnight. I've held my son. He's had seizures, and we've held him in restaurants not knowing what's going to happen. Shaylee just crying. And people eating, going, what is happening? And he's having a full-blown seizure. He's had seizures since he was 3 years old. We've been praying for him forever, it seems like. He's 14 now. We know what it's like to have kids in a situation where you need a miracle. Well, you can't give up and you can't quit. You got to keep sowing into the clouds of prayer because someday it's going to rain down. Say amen.
Amen.
Anybody in that situation where you need to sow into the clouds and see a miracle in some. Well, it's going to happen. Look at verse 4. He who watches the wind will not sow. And what this means to me is, listen, when you're going through something in your life, you can't just be the person that just sits there and just watches the situation. Oh, yeah, my kids are this. Well, what are you doing about it? Because I'm going to tell you something. The best piece of advice you'll ever receive, if you don't fight for your kids and your family, who's going to? If you don't fight for your city, then who's going to? You have the biggest dog in the fight. If you're not going to do it, the enemy's going to run rampant through your family. I just spoke at a men's retreat where I told them it is time for men to be raised up to be the spiritual leaders of their houses again, to be examples. Now, as men, we totally understand the physical fight. Nobody would just jump into your house and kick over your kitchen table and start messing. You know, all men are born with a man card. It doesn't matter if the guy breaking into your house is 6'7", 350. You have a man card. That means you're going to win the fight. The guy encroached upon your house. That's the way it is. Okay? We understand that as men, but when it comes to church, men tend to leave it to the women. Why? Your natural fight is only just a smidgen compared to the spiritual fight. Men have got to take their place again as spiritual leaders in the church, in the house. Amen? And it's time for us to rise up and to do something. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't mean you get to preach. It doesn't mean you take the offering and do all these things. It means that you become a prayer person in your house. I'm not going to be one that just watches the problem. I want to be one that does something about it. And then verse 5, this is another good one. At the end of it, the very end, it says this. It says, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things, because I run into all sorts of people that get upset about their situation. And they're just like, they blame God. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't know how God operates. And that's good. So you can't, and because you don't know how he operates, you can't get upset with him when your life doesn't go as you planned it, because you don't know how he planned it. So don't get frustrated. Don't say, God, why is this happening? Why are they blessed? And this whole thing about why are they blessed, who are they? I just told you all my thing. I come into a church sometimes to preach, and people are like, oh, that must be Pastor Terry. I guess he's our guest speaker. I like his jacket. Must have a good life. Why does he have to have a good life? Da, da, da. You don't know me. In the street, you don't know me. You know, that's. There is no they living a better life. There's only you living your life. You can't do the sin of comparison with someone else. It's never greener. You know why it's always greener on the other side? It's always greener over a septic tank, okay? That's the fertilizer. Don't ever look at someone else's life and go, oh, if I just had their life. Why would you want their life when God gave you your life? God gave you your life. If you want their life and if you got it, you wouldn't be successful because God didn't give it to you. Be happy where you are. And you can only have that happiness when you learn to pray. My wife will tell you, man, I used to get so frustrated in ministry. Always want to take over the world, always want to be somewhere else. Hey, let's move here, let's move there, let's do this. Eventually, we're going to climb the corporate ladder. It's going to be great. And then I realized that that's just a bunch of nonsense. It's not what the kingdom is about. The kingdom, listen, look at me. The kingdom is about wherever you are right now. That's where you're at. That's where God wants you. When it changes, if he truly is God that created the universe, and the Bible says the whole universe fits between his pinky and his thumb, if he's that powerful, when he wants you to change and move, he can tell you. I'm pretty sure you'll figure it out. But what happens is we get so paranoid about missing out on life. And I'm 47 years old. I could think, man, I could miss out on life. I'm not missing out on anything. You're not, the only way you're going to screw something up with God is moving out ahead of him. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Listen, if this is too hard, just say, hey, I need a joke. I can tell you a joke. Something about riding a motorcycle with your fly open or something. Something. This is a good one. It really is. My wife said that was a brief ride. That was a good one. It was a brief ride. And then in verse 6, another good verse, it says, sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle in the evening. And I want to animate this, so I want you to look up here as I do this. It says, do not sow, do not pray in the morning and then be lazy all day. Because it literally says at the end, because you don't know, let's read it. Because you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed or whether both of them alike will be good. You can't just sow prayers in the morning or seed or whatever and then just be lazy and hope it all works out. Because if you pray in the morning, and then you pray, and Psalms 55 says, I prayed morning, noon, and night. And you pray at noon, and you pray at night before you go to bed or whatever. You're sowing seeds of prayer, and you don't know which one of those is going to release God's blessing upon your life. But I guarantee you, if you do not sow anything, you won't reap anything. Are there any farmers in the house? Is there anyone that knows what I'm talking about? I brought a farmer from Seattle in case we didn't have any here in the mean streets of Spokane. Come on, you don't even have to be a farmer to understand. If you don't sow, you're not going to reap, right? You're not going to reap. You're not going to get anything. You got to be faithful in it. Next verse. Verse 7, the light is pleasant and it's good for the eyes to see the sun. So when I read this through the filter of prayer, I don't get sun like S-U-N, I get sun, S-O-N. Because when I'm praying, I'm seeing Jesus. Because the Bible says that wherever we choose to pray and worship becomes the habitation, the living space of God. That means I'm going to see Jesus. And it says that Jesus is in the throne room of heaven praying for us 24/7. He's always praying for me. So when I choose to pray, I'm now praying in alignment with God, and I'm seeing things the way God sees them. That's why I love the Lord's Prayer that starts with, you know, our Father in heaven. And I just stop there and I say, thank you, God, that you are my Father, that I'm seeing from your perspective. I'm not seeing from Terry Bonner's perspective on this earthly realm. I'm seeing my situation through the heavenly eyesight, through Jesus Christ himself, and it changes everything. And look what it says. The light is pleasant. I told the prayer school the other day that if you truly will begin to pray and be faithful at it, whether you feel like it or not, you're going to become a more happy person. Doesn't matter what happens in your life. You're going to be joyous. You're going to smile more. You're going to be happy more. You're not going to be baptized in vinegar and mean to every single person you meet. See, I grew up in church. I didn't like church. I grew up in Idaho in a family church, extreme Pentecostals. The older ones came out of the Depression era. So it was all about, you know, something bad's coming. And hopefully Jesus will come in the rapture and we'll die and get out of this miserable place. And I'm going to tell you something. We were Pentecostals. We prayed in tongues, but there were a lot of mean people. The fruit of the Spirit is the most important thing that you can develop in your life, not the gifts of the Spirit. Don't tell me how apostolic you are, how prophetic you are, how many angels you see. I don't want to know how many people you slain in the Spirit when you minister. I don't want to know about your deep theology when you're just not a nice person. because the fruit of the Spirit means that I grew up, I went to high school in Eastern Washington, Okanagan. I know all about fruit trees, okay? Okay, you have an apple tree, you're going to get an apple. Okay. I've never saw like a pear tree and an apple just pop up. If it's an apple tree, you're going to get apples, right? So if you don't have any fruit of the Spirit hanging off of you, don't tell me you're a son of God and daughter of God. You might be by birthright because we accepted Jesus, but that's not enough. The Bible says you have to work out your salvation daily and you have to develop the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm a firm believer that when you get around, you know, anyone can pray in a corporate setting. Anyone can, it's easy. Anyone can get together and act spiritual here. I can be a super powerful prayer person here. So could you. Any of us could. We're all excited. But when you leave this and there's no longer the band and there's no longer me encouraging you to pray and it's just you with your situation at your house, what are you going to do? You have to develop this relationship with God. Because one thing I know about God, the Holy Spirit is a conniver sometimes. He's like a trickster in a good way. Because I used to get alone with God and I'd be like, God, I want to talk about Pastor Toby. You know, and God's like, nah, I want to talk about Toby. Okay, I want to talk about my wife. You know, let's talk about, nah, I'm not here to talk about your wife. She's not here. I want to talk about you. And I'd be like, and then you do that thing, I just want to pray in tongues now. And the angels in heaven are like, oh my gosh, he must be a German. I am, by the way. Stubborn as a mule. Dear Lord. And it took me a while for Jesus. Jesus is here forever. He's like, I got all the time in the world. I'll wait you out. And I wasted years being stubborn prayer guy before I learned that God doesn't want to talk about Toby and my wife. He at first he wants to talk about me. And I need to process my day through prayer and just say, God, you know what? I'm going to tell you. And he goes, I already know. And just say it. I'm like, okay, I was a jerk today to my wife, and I did this and I did that. I repent of those things. I ask for forgiveness and give me the grace to forgive those who trespassed against me. And it's all about you. And then when you do that, it's like this weight is just lifted off of you. So back to my son for a minute. We've gone through this whole thing with him. And then on Friday night, he comes up to me. I've asked him to pray before, and he's like, that's your thing. It's your thing, whatever that means. And he's like, he comes up to me. He goes, Dad, can I pray in the mic? Now, if you don't know my son, he is Comedian Central. So I'm thinking the dad thing. This is a holy moment now. He's going to get up and talk about a fly being open or something, you know. He's going to be like, I don't know. So I'm like, okay, what do you want to say? But I don't want to quiz him too much because I don't want to, like, kill that. This is the first time he wanted to pray in the mic, so I want to try to make it happen, but I want it to be a win-win because I'm a dad, right? He goes, well, I got to go to the bathroom first. I'm like, okay, that's good. And he stops me on the way. He goes, it's about repentance. And then he leaves. And the next person that comes up and prays in the mic is praying and declaring about repentance. And then Trey comes up and he goes, hi, my name is Trey. And people start laughing, right? And he's like, that's my dad. And he goes, you guys think I'm all such a nice guy inside? And everyone's like, yeah, you are. You're so funny. And that's what they're thinking. And that's what I'm thinking. And he goes, but I'm not. And he goes, I'm so rude to my dad. He doesn't deserve it. And he starts crying. And the people start crying, and I start crying, you know, and it's just like, and I can't tell you as a parent, when you've been praying since 3 to 14 to see something change and happen. And then we had people come up to me afterwards. We told that story, and they were just telling their own story about how they prayed for their kids, and it's taken time, but you see change, and you see a difference. You can't ever give up. And I'm telling you, I'm praying this verse over my son, that as he begins to pray, he's going to see the light. I'm the third generation in my family of people that were prayer leaders, and prayer was important to them. And my heart has always been for my daughter and my son to be the next generation. And nobody knew that. And then Ron gave me, you gave me a prophetic word at your house just yesterday. He didn't know anything. He goes, your kids are the next generation of prayer leaders in your family. And he didn't know that. He didn't know any of that. Can I tell you one more story? And then we'll finish with these verses. I told this story on Thursday or Friday night. I was in Los Angeles at the big Azusa prayer meeting. How many of you heard about that? That happened, 100,000 people praying. And I wasn't going to go, but God opened the door supernaturally. And so I went down there. And it's one of those things where, you know, you're so excited to go because the leader of it, Lou Engel, was, I kind of like Facebook stalked him sometimes. I just love the guy. You know, he's a hero of mine in prayer. And so I get down there, and Pastor Jesse, who's been here many times, he was like deathly sick, man. He was so sick. He almost didn't go with me on the trip. And then we fly down. He's just coughing the whole time. And then we get up early in the morning to go, and he can't go. He's sick. And now I'm like, God, someone gave us money to come down here and do this, and now it's not working out. It's in my mind. And then finally Jesse's like, okay, let's go. And so we get up, and we drive all these people to the Coliseum. And the Coliseum is cool on TV, but it's really not nice when you get there. It's kind of a rundown area, and it's just miles of just homeless tents, and it's just everything is dilapidated, and we can't find parking. We drop everyone off, and I go with this guy named Tom. We spend like 35 minutes driving around. We finally find a parking spot a mile and a half from the stadium. It's raining, all this stuff, and my mind is just not in it now. My mind is blowing my expectations. I get out of the car, and I step like this, and I just almost step in this, excuse my French, but this huge pile of human poo. Like literally step out of the car and just go, whoa. And then all I could think of, boy, if I go to the call, nobody will step by me in the whole stadium. I'll be banished to the far reaches because, you know, you stepped in this. So now I'm thinking, man, I can't believe none of this is working out. And my mind is just racing with all this stuff, and we got to get there. I don't want to miss the speaker. And right then, I felt this beep on my phone, and it was Facebook because I like doing Facebook a lot. And it was an old Facebook post that I had done, and I hadn't posted on it since 2011. And it said, this is your last post from 2011 on 73 Hop. And it was a prayer page I did for 7 days a week, three times a day you're going to pray. And it said, your last post in 2011 said, eventually this will become a house of or a school of prayer. And I thought, wow, because we have a school of prayer. And that was the last thing I wrote in 2011. And I felt God right there, just inside, very sensitive. He just said, I want you to resurrect this Facebook post and change it to Pray 73. So if you get on Facebook and you just type in Pray 73, that's our new thing. And it's to encourage people to pray 7 days a week, three times a day. Now, here's the cool part. It happened so quick, just like that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that. And then I just I put my phone away. I go into the Coliseum. I'm bored sometimes because it's an all-day thing, so I change the name of it right then and there, Pray 73, and then I go home. A couple weeks later, we have a guy that's not on Facebook at all. He doesn't know any of this. He's at our prayer school. He's teaching. He's prophesying, and he goes, we're going to reverse the curse of 73 of when abortion came into our nation. And I started thinking because I thought, man, I never thought about that. Abortion was in 73. And he goes, where's Pastor Terry? He goes, Pastor Terry, the number 73 means something to you, doesn't it? 73 means something to you. And the whole prayer school starts laughing because the week before I just told them this story about my new prayer page called Pray 73. And I'm going to tell you something. If you go back in time, come on, go with me back in time. LA, we're in LA. Human poo. Homeless people, raining, late, parking. We're so busy in life sometimes, we never hear God speak to us. And my dad used to say all the time, God speaks to you by tugging on your heart with rose petal chains, that if he tugs too hard, the chain's going to break, so you've got to be sensitive to what he's saying. I could have been so busy in all of that, I never would have even seen that Facebook post, or I'd have seen it go, nah. And then weeks later, when the prophetic guy comes to church and goes, 73 means something to you, I'd be, not really. Of course it didn't, because I missed what he said. And then I had this weird feeling when I was there that, you know, you ever have that weird feeling when you think about the universe, it's so big, it's just too much for you, and you're like, okay, I can't think about it. I had that same thing that, God, I almost missed what you were saying, and this is so monumental in my life. How many other things have I missed? And I started feeling bad, like, man, I've probably missed so much. And God's like, quit. Just quit thinking like that. My point is that when you have a daily habit of like three times a day just stopping what you're doing and saying, God, I acknowledge you in my life. You are the king of my life. I am not. Help me this day. If it only takes 10 seconds, at least you're building this sensitivity to what God is saying and what God is doing. One of the greatest joys in my heart is to be able to encourage people to take that next step. They might say, you know, I don't pray at all. Well, if you don't pray at all, and you begin to pray 5 seconds, three times a day, or 10 seconds, you're doing so much more than you did. That's an old leadership principle, by the way, too. They say, aim high. Now, sometimes people say, aim low so you're not disappointed, because life will disappoint you. Just aim low, and even a cripple could crawl over it, you know, and just, I'm like, aim for the stars. Because if you don't get it, you're at least so much higher than the guy who just fell over the low bar. With prayer, at least set a standard. Mike Bickle, who leads the International House of Prayer, says that people pray 10 times more when they have a prayer guide, when they have something in front of them that says, here's how you pray. And I realized early on with prayer school that most people, like 90% of the people that joined prayer school, it's because they knew how to pray in church, but they did not know how to pray at their house. So we give them all sorts of teachings, but all sorts of prayer guides. Do you know what the greatest prayer guide is? Someone tell me. That's not in the prayer school. Huh? The Holy Spirit, okay. There was an actual physical prayer guide that was given to us by Jesus himself, the Lord's Prayer, when his disciples said, well, I'm sure it went like this. I'm sure it was something like this. This is my version, but they're like, they see him, they do all, he does all these miracles, and then the Bible says that Jesus would get up in the morning while everyone's sleeping, and he'd climb a mountain to pray. We can't even roll out of bed sometimes to pray. And then at night, he would do it again, and he prayed during the day with the Jewish prayer schedule. And he did all these miracles. And when they saw the miracles, the disciples didn't say, teach us to do miracles. And he said wise things, and they didn't say, the disciples never say, hey, teach us to say wise things, because that would be cool. That's what we do now in America. Man, if I could just get the right message to preach, I'll be on Charisma Magazine, I'll be on TBN, I will be just flowing with it all, you know what I'm saying? And that's not the kingdom. The disciples says, Jesus, teach us to pray. Why? Because they recognized that prayer was his power. He would go on a mountain and pray in the morning and then walk down and naturally do miracles. What we do is we don't naturally do miracles. What we do now is we don't pray, but we want to do miracles to impress people, but it's not normal and fluid, so we're just like, oh, Lord, help him. Father, just give me a word for him. He's such a hard-to-receive guy. I don't know why it's not coming. Come on. Well, maybe next year, show up. We do that. Jesus came off of a mountain and just said, be healed. He didn't make a show of it. Hey, take a picture. Here's a selfie with me doing. He just naturally encouraged and helped people. Why? Because he had a habit of praying every day and every night. Okay, let me just end in the next 5 minutes. Go to the next verse. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all, and let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come will be, it literally says, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice. Rejoice in all your days. Learn to enjoy the journey. Someone say, enjoy. Enjoy the journey. Next verse. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant. Another one. Go to the next verse, the last one. So remove grief and anger from your hearts and put away pain from your body. This is the ending one. This is the one that I went through. This is the thing that's going to help you probably the most in life when you learn to pray, is that at some point when you're praying, God's going to say, let go of the grief and let go of the anger. So I'm going to end this message by telling you a story that happened to me. My sister died of cancer when she was around 13. And then I was very angry. I was already a pastor, but I was very angry with God. You can't say that in church. You can't say, hey, we're going to take the offering today. And by the way, I'm very angry with God. No one's coming back to church, you know? So you got to lie as a pastor. And I just had, I had anger. Have you ever had anger in your heart? The Bible says you have anger in your heart. It's like killing someone. I had anger in my heart for years. And it didn't help me. And then I remember in Alaska one time, my wife and I, we were on vacation at this other church. And we're sitting in the back where Ron and Carrie are sitting right now. Just, you know, you want to be incognito. But when you're a pastor and you show up any church, you're like, hey, a pastor, come say something. And I just remember sitting there, and I had kind of forgotten about the grief and anger in my heart. And then Pastor Jim says, hey, Terry Bonner's from Bethel. He's, come on up here. And first, before he said that, he goes, Pastor Terry's sister died of cancer. I'm going to tell you something. That anger and that grief, right back to the front. I was angry. Now, I was sitting there smiling like you're smiling because you have to. They just called you out. And it's like. And then he says, He says, we have 8 or 9 women that are dying of cancer in our church. And he goes, I'm going to have Pastor Terry come and pray for them. I'm just thinking, oh, no, he didn't. And I'm smiling still, but I'm thinking, honestly, the thought that came to my mind is, why do they deserve to live? Why? My sister died. Why do they deserve to live? But I had to come up, so I came up. And when I prayed for them, something snapped inside of me. It was like something shifted. Like that grief and that anger was gone, and I realized something for the first time. That when you go through something in life and you survive it and you make it through, God will use you to pray for people. You now have authority in that area to lay your hands on people that are dying of cancer. And maybe they get healed, maybe they don't, but they now have hope and encouragement in life. And that anger and that grief just kind of shot out the window to now. It's two of my greatest things. Number one is to pray for people that are depressed and are feeling hopeless and have just lost, you know, the joy in life. I love praying for people like that. My mom at times was very bipolar, so I totally understand what it's like to have someone that's like super happy one moment and then just 3 days laying in bed depressed and unhappy. And we don't have to live that way. Before my mom died, she went to a conference and got prayed for by a guy, just laid his hands on her, and she found joy for the first time in many years, and then she died like a week later. And to me, that's a miracle. And you're like, oh, it's a miracle your mom died. My mom, ever since my sister died, my mom was in depression. And then God said, before you come home, you're going to find joy. So I love praying for people that are depressed. But I also love praying for people that are going through, diseases that the doctor says there's no hope. There's always hope, people. And if the doctor says there's no hope and I die, I'm going to pray to the day I die. I'm going to pray as an optimist, not a pessimist. Amen? Someone say amen.
Amen.
Now listen, we're going to pray in a minute, but before you go, oh, well, you just told me a super sad story. I don't know how we can get this back to joy. Listen, there's such joy in my heart. Now, when I talk about my sister and I talk about my mom, yes, it causes me to get teary-eyed sometimes because, you never forget. You never forget your family. You never forget sometimes what they went through. I don't want to forget. I'm not setting them aside, but I don't live my life with fear and anger and grief anymore. That's gone. I set that aside. I just want to live for God with joy. Someone say amen. Okay, we're going to pray, and then we'll be done. I'm going to pray for some people. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay, why don't you stand with me? We can move this thing. What time are you normally? You're normally done by now, right? I don't know. It's like, there's no numbers. It's all like artistic. This must be an artistic church. There's no numbers. It's just all colors. It's like, wow. See, I'm a time guy. I like to see the time so I can just, because I get hungry. And then I just got to be done. And I'm trying to be spiritual. I'm not very spiritual. One quarter of my mind, I know I'm playing soccer tonight after I drive home. So I'm kind of excited about that. But I'm also excited about just releasing some joy and encouragement. Okay? Just releasing a new hope. So I want to pray for a couple things, and then we might do a little prophetic ministry. But just close your eyes for a minute. Is there anyone here that you'd honestly just say to me, depression needs to go. Depression needs to go. I want you to come up here. Come up here and stand just here on this side. If you say depression needs to go, I just have an overwhelming frustration with life. I'm depressed. See, you guys, look up here for a minute. This is church. Church is not we all show up and no one has issues. The good news is we all have issues. So we're all still humans in need of a Savior.
Yeah.
I need Jesus every day. And then the other group is this, that you'd say, man, you'd say literally it is prophetic that you are here speaking on prayer because God's been speaking to you about my prayer life has got to change. Now I need to learn to pray because I want to release an anointing and a gift of praying. If that is you, I want you to come and just stand here on my left, your right. Come on, I want to pray for some of you. Could you just a little bit of lighting? Just a little bit. I want to be able to see just a couple faces, if possible, or all the lights. It doesn't matter. So we got the prayer section over here, and we're going to start here. Everyone just stretch your hands forth. Father, we just release right now just a great level of joy and excitement. We just declare, what is your name?
Alyssa.
We just declare and prophesy right now. We just release great joy. We just release, I'm telling you, the Bible says that the prayers of the saints are like a fragrance. I just see a flower and I see a sweet aroma that's arising. And I'm telling you, as you begin to just set your face like flint towards God and say, God, I'm going to pray until I smile. I'm going to pray until I see joy. I'm telling you, there's going to be a fragrance that arises and that other people smell it. They're going to go, what is that? Are you wearing a new cologne, a new perfume, or whatever? What do you have? Did you buy this? Where'd you buy this at? And they're like, I'm not wearing any perfume. It's. I'm telling you, it's a prophetic thing. It's the aroma of the prayers. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. Look at me. There's going to be a joy and a happiness that comes upon you, okay? So can you smile for me for a minute? So you have a great smile. You have a great smile. Come on, you guys, keep praying just for a minute. Father, we just release right now, just supernatural. Come on, a turnaround. God says there's a turnaround coming. There's a turnaround coming. It's something you've been thinking about and praying about and been causing you grief, but there's a turnaround that's coming. I'm telling you, it's like you're on a freeway and you can't find a turnaround. It's just frustrating. And then you finally see suddenly a turnaround. There's a turnaround. There's a turnaround coming for you. And I'm telling you, it's going to be good. It's going to be full of life, full of joy. And you need to write it in your journal that there's a turnaround that is coming. A turnaround that's coming. Come on, Father, we thank you. Right now, we just release grace, your grace. Come on, your grace. The grace of the King. The grace of the King. Come on, like a flood of joy that's going to overcome you. Come on, I'm telling you, you're going to be setting in your house or wherever you live. And I'm telling you, it's going to be like an invisible flood, an outpouring of joy over the top of you. And whenever the enemy whispers, no, no, you wait, you see, God, there's the enemy's voice is going to be drowned in the flood of the water that's coming over you. What's your name?
Eric.
Eric. Did I startle you? That's good. Father, I thank you for Eric. God, I thank you for Eric. And I'm telling you, the Bible says that before you were in your mother's womb that God gave you a name and a destiny. And Father, I pray that this week, I'm telling you, Eric, I prophesy this, that within 5-6 days that God is going to begin to reveal to you what is your mission on this planet. He's going to reveal it to you. Okay, so be sensitive to his spirit and write it down. Okay, you believe me? It's going to happen, man. There's a reason you're on this planet. That there's a job that only you can do, right? You, only you. And Jeremiah 29:11 says it's a good thing. It's a good thing. What is your name? I still want to pray for you. Okay. What is your name?
Amanda.
You're Amanda. That was so awesome, Amanda. You're like, oh, okay. Me too. I'm good too. That's awesome. Oh. Come on, stretch your hands forward. Father, we thank you for Amanda, right? We thank you for Amanda. It's a good name, Amanda. God, we thank you for her. We thank you that she's learning to put one step in front of the other. That this is a journey, you're on a journey, but you're taking one step. And God says he's going to reward the next step. He's going to keep rewarding the next step. Every step you take in him, there's going to be a natural reward too, but there's going to be, I'm telling you, there's going to be an excitement and a joy about your spiritual journey. And it's not even going to be something corporate, but it's going to be something personal that you just feel like, man, I'm having the greatest time of my life walking with the King of Kings. I just see like an adventure map that God is just going to begin to, in your prayer times, just unfold this map, and you're going to feel like the Hobbit leaving the Shire. Okay, it's a great movie, by the way. And you're going to feel like I'm, you know, because the Hobbit said I can't leave the Shire. If I take one more step, I've never gone this far before. And God says he's going to take you on a great journey that way. He's going to take you one step farther than you've ever been, and it's going to be a great adventure. It's going to be good. Father, I just pray life right now. We just pray life over you. We love you. We love you, and God loves you. And in these formative years right now, God is just establishing your identity. He's establishing it. You're not going to have to worry about others establishing it, the world establishing it. As you, I'm telling you, do me a favor. I want you at night to get on your knees and just say, God, I'm going to go old school, and I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to just say, God, here I am. And God is going to begin to form your identity. He's going to begin to form who he wants you to be. And all these other things are just going to fall away. And you're just going to find such peace and such joy. You're a mighty woman of God. You come from a great heritage. We all know that. You are the next generation as well. In the next 3 months, God is going to put a passion, a fire, and a desire to pray within you. All the things your mom has done and prayed, you're like, well, that's mom. Well, it's not just mom. Mom got it somewhere too. And eventually you're going to have kids, and it's going to go somewhere. It's called a generational blessing. Okay? It's a generational blessing of prayer. Now, is there anyone else for prayer here? Okay, what's your name?
Kelly.
Kelly? Okay, let's pray for Kelly. Guys, Father, we thank you for Kelly. She's amazing. Kelly, we just pray just a release of the goodness of the King upon you. We just pray just a release. I'm telling you, I see tears that have come out of your eyes, but God's going to turn those tears into joy, into excitement, into life. I'm telling you, you're going to be another one that just begins to laugh uncontrollably where you live, and God has seen the tears that have fallen to the ground, and those tears that have fallen to the ground are literally going to be like seeds in the ground. That a great harvest is going to arise out of those things. A great harvest. I want you to write that in your journal. Yes. That God has seen your tears and a great harvest is coming. Great harvest. Come here. What's your name?
Brianna.
Brianna. I know some Briannas in Seattle. Brianna, can you put your hands like this? What is your greatest desire? Father, we pray for Brianna. You guys, her greatest desire is to be a mom. Come on, Father, we just thank you. We just release health. We just release health right now. Father, and we know that she is here and she has more to give to this planet. She has more to give. She has the kingdom to expand. And Father, we just release fruitfulness. God, we just release motherhood. Father God, in whatever form that takes, God, you know. But God, she wants to give her heart. God, we know. And we break off every word curse that has ever been spoken to you. Come on, every generational curse that has hindered you, we break that right now in Jesus' name. We break it. Come on, you guys, just a minute more. Just pray with me. We break that right now, and we just release. I'm telling you, fruitfulness and motherhood, joy for the future. I want you to do me a favor. You do not know how God operates. You do not know in what form this might take place. But I'm going to tell you, it is time for you to begin to pray. It's time for you to pray for the future. Sons and daughters, it's time for you to pray for them. God, I'm going to tell you, I don't know. God hasn't shown me if you're going to have kids naturally or if you're going to adopt kids or whatever. But he did say that you need to begin to pray for them because there are some kids that need a mom, and they need a praying mom. So, Father, we just release a great desire to pray over her, a great desire to pray. Kelly, I want you to keep praying for her. We're almost there. We'll be done in a minute. Is that okay? Did I miss anyone over here? Okay. Now, you don't have to come up, but is there anyone that said, you know, I should have came up for depression thing, but I didn't? Just wave your hand if that's you. One in the back. Anyone else? Father, we just thank you. You're breaking the curse of depression. You're breaking the shackles right now. You're releasing joy, the joy of the King, right now, the joy of the King. Depression has to go. You guys, depression leads to the next step, which is, why am I on this planet? I might as well not even be here. That is such a lie of the enemy. And lastly, we're going to pray for you guys as a group. Can you come a little closer together, all you. So yesterday, or it was Friday, wasn't it? Friday or Saturday, I walked up to what is it, St. John the Evangelist Church. It's like one of the few Gothic architecture buildings in America from 1925. And I want to tell you something. We miss out in America. Sometimes we miss in our modern Christianity the reason God developed church buildings like that. I was at the Washington Cathedral. And I walked in there, and it was such an amazing building. And I did some research on why they built cathedrals. And the reason cathedrals are always pointed up is because they're beautiful, because they want you to see just a glimpse of how amazing and beautiful God is. And they point up because they want us to know that God, we got to get our eyes off this world. Amen. And get him up there. So every time I can, I find a cathedral. When I was in San Francisco on a prayer trip, I went to this Catholic church, and I just sat in there, and it was so peaceful. It was so beautiful. There's sometimes we got to walk out. You know what happened to me 2 weeks ago? I'm playing soccer on a Sunday night, and it's a cloudy day like this. No chance of rain. It begins to hail, and it begins to rain the hardest it's ever rained on Cashville that I've been there. For 10 minutes, just this complete utter downpour, and people are like, oh, I just stopped playing the game. I'm just like this. One time in Lewiston, Idaho, I'm playing soccer in this tournament. It starts snowing. I was playing midfield. I'm in the middle of the field. I quit playing, and I stick my tongue out. And people are running by going, play. There are times we got to stop. We got to get off this roller coaster of the world and realize there's something greater out there, and that it's God. And we got to walk up to the St. John the Evangelist Church and just take a picture and just sit there and say, God, this is beautiful, and you are beautiful, and I just want to take a minute and meditate upon you, God. Yeah. That's prayer. When you see the sunset and you say, God, you created that, that's praying. When you break out in a rap that's amazing, you know what I'm saying, a little freestyle, here we go, Jack, boom. That is totally just your version of saying, God, you're amazing. That is my meditation to you. It's whatever is in your natural rhythm. That is you. Sometimes you got to be quiet. Sometimes you just got to open your mouth. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Gage, come here. Come here, Gage. Come up here with me. Then we'll pray, I promise you. This is so funny. Can I tell a story about yesterday in the pool? Oh, yeah. That was so awesome, man. So we're staying at the Quality Inn, and they have an outside pool. You know, it's still kind of cold. It's not heated, right? So the kids want to go swimming. Gage is a little smarter than the rest. He says, I'm not going to go swimming, man. It's too cold. I don't want to get wet. And I'm like, I'm with him. That guy's smart. We're smart together, right? So he decides at the end, it's time to go, and Rob's like, it's time to go. And I'm watching Gage, and Gage is putting his feet in, and everyone's like, Gage, just get in. Get in. Gage's like, no. He's like, I'm like, yeah, Gage, don't get in. He's like, and he's crawling on the ledge around the pool. Rob says, time to go. So he's just like crawling out. He's not going to get wet. What do you think happens? I'm watching this whole thing. It was like, dude, it made my year. I watch, it's like slow motion. It's just like your foot slips. And by the way, climbing, you have to have 3 points of hold just to not fall. And you just like, he falls in completely. And he smiles and he's laughing. And then Rob says, you might as well just jump in now. Just get back in. Sometimes we decide to get in this movement of prayer. And other times we fall in because of our circumstances or situations. You're almost forced to the point that if I don't pray, I'm not going to make it. Yeah. I don't care how you get in, get in. So I'm going to end by praying just an anointing for these that are up here and you as well, because we're all called to pray. And you're going to help me, man. Stay here, brother. You're now, I commission you, prayer leader. Just extend your hands forward like I'm doing. Yeah. This is somehow magical. It makes it all happen. Joy in the house, right? Joy in the house. So, Father, I thank you for these amazing men and women. God, I ask that they can just come awaken to this the art of praying. That, Father, you'll begin to meet with them in the night season of their life. That, Father, I'm telling you prophetically, there are some of you who are going through such difficult circumstances that right now, tonight, you're going to go down, you're going to try to sleep, but you can't sleep tonight. And God is just calling you to a season of getting up at night and just praying and just saying, God, here I am. What do you want to say? I'm telling you, God's going to release in you, God's going to release an amazing communication with the King. An amazing communication. What's your name here in the white shirt? John. Come here, John. John, we thank you that listen, you, God is going to take you through a season of just, in Genesis, I think it's Genesis 4, Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. God's going to take you through a season of that, okay? That every day you're going to be walking with a king. He's going to be speaking to you. You're going to speak to him. Father, we just release this over John right now. We just release this goodness, this greatness over him, that he's going to be able to step out of the world and just step in with you. I thank you for this season. John, it's going to be refreshing. All the things that you've gone through in life, all the past, the hurts, the wounding, all these things, it doesn't matter now. God's about to take you through a garden season.
Wow.
A garden season.
Wow.
And lastly, right here with the glasses, can I pray for you?
Yeah.
Are you with him? You might as well come to. Because men forget what was said, and then wives are like, that's not what was said. He said, I was going to have $1 million. That's not what he said. He said, pray. That's what he said. Well, that's what happens to me. My wife keeps me straight, you know. So, Father, we just thank you for them. God, I just pray right now, just, I'm telling you, Leviticus 6, 12 through 14, that it's our responsibility and it's our honor every morning to keep the fire lit on the altar. The altar would never go out. God, the Lord had me put a tattoo on my right arm. I literally have a tattoo on my arm. It's a prayer flame, and it has Leviticus 6, 12 through 14. I'm not saying you need to do that, but I'm saying it's the same type of thing that God is saying to you. He wants to imprint upon your lives that verse. I will never let the fire go out on the altar of prayer. I will never let it go out. Maybe you need to have someone paint that. We have prophetic artists. Maybe you just need to write it in a journal, put it on the wind, you know, your mirror in your bathroom, something. But God is saying, never let the fire go out. Never let the fire go out. Never let the fire go out. man. Just one more real quick. What's your husband's name again? Your, yeah. Andy, I met Andy before, but I don't want to embarrass you, Andy, but can you stand for a second? They're from this area, and they're here with Mary. Mary, put your hand in the air like you just don't care. Okay, that's awesome. Andy, I just want to pray for you. It's nothing, you know, out there or anything. I the whole service, you know, I just kind of have my eye on you that God wanted to just say something to you about your work, your business. And I don't know what it is, but I just feel like God wants to encourage you that there's going to be an expansion. There's going to be a blessing of something. And I kept ignoring it, but I just feel like it's something to do with that God really wants to expand and bless. And even the parts that have been frustrating to you or, you know, maybe you didn't know about, but I really feel like they've been frustrating to you, that's going to end, okay? It's going to end, and God's going to, it's going to move forward, okay? The roadblocks, the hindrances, gone, okay? Awesome. We're done. Thank you.